So for those of you that don't know who I am yet, my name is Jesse. I'm the pastor of worship and administration and young adults here at Sunnyside. And it is my pleasure to get to bring today's message. And yeah, if you haven't got to know me, today you're in for a treat. I'm going to share my story, so we're going to know me a little bit better today. So first I want to ask a question though. So you can look at the screen. Looking at labels, would you say that we could agree that our world is full of labels? Yes. Fantastic. You guys are so much more energetic than the 9 a.m. service. This is fantastic. Everything at some point had a label on it, I think. Probably when we purchased it, it had a label on it. We may have removed that label. I mean, I was sitting in the second row. This is probably 2 months ago. And Drew is preaching, and I swear I wasn't distracted, but this table has a label on it. We've got so many different kinds of labels in our life. We've got labels that will tell us nutritional facts, ones that give us warnings, ones that have manufacturing dates or best before dates. We've got ones that give us a list of ingredients, ones that give us a list of contents. We've even brands and logos, they're a kind of label. Now, while most of these labels are quite helpful and encouraging, not all labels are. See, there aren't just labels that are put on products. Labels are also put onto companies and individuals. And these labels may be encouraging, they may bring us happiness. However, many times the labels that we or others put on us end up being discouraging and hurtful. We look back at the passage that we just read from 1 John 3, starting at verse 7. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. The one who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. The one who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. No one who is born of God will continue to sin because God's seed remains in them. They cannot go on sinning because they have been born of God. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not God's child, nor is anyone who does not love their brother and sister. For this is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. See, labels, when they're placed on us and onto others, should be placed out of love. They should be there to help encourage us, to bring us up into a place of joy. However, many of the labels that we put on ourselves or others put on us or we put on them end up being done in a negative way. And they lead our minds astray as to who God has actually made us to be. We are to love one another through our actions and our words. Now, if I was to think of my own life, I have put labels on myself, and other labels have been put on me based on things that have happened throughout my life. And some of them are pretty good. We won't go through all of them. We'll be here all day. But so you can get to know me a little bit better, let's look at some of the labels that I have on in my life. Got son, not too bad. Oldest child, a theater kid, pastry chef, pastor, friend, husband, father, Christian. I wish I could say that these nice labels were all the ones that were put on me, but that's not the case. I have had some more negative labels put on me. Some of them you may think, oh, that's not too bad. That's not really negative. However, when it was put on me, it was put on in a negative way, such as homeschooler. I was homeschooled since grade 6 through to grade 12, and when that was put on me, it was done in a negative way, and so that's how I have viewed that label. A nerd. I'm not into science or math or sci-fi, so it's not that. It's more artistic, theater nerd. A know-it-all. I'm not saying that I put that on myself. I'm not a know-it-all. A brown noser. An enemy. Or the most recent one that was put on me, too young. You're too young for that position. You're too young to do that. You never amount to anything because you're too young. Fitting that today is Father's Day, because there are probably many people here in the room that one of the labels you would wear would be father, or you would know someone that would wear the label father. But today I want to share with you a label that I have put on myself, a label that wasn't true, a label that I carried with me for many years, a label that I let define and run my life. However, I want to share with you the hope, because I was able to finally take that label off. Now, if you've been around Sunnyside for any number of years, you will have heard me share bits and pieces of my life story, whether that's through sermons, through personal conversation. But when Pastor Drew and Amy arrived, I got to sit down with them and share my entire story with them. So they got to know who I was. I got to know who they were. And they really encouraged me to share more of a bigger picture of my story with you, specifically on this label that I wrestled with for years and how I was finally able to overcome it. I felt best to do so today on Father's Day because the label that I had put on myself was fatherless. So I'm going to pull up a seat. We're going to have a personal story time. Get comfortable. Warning. I'm telling you this not so that way you feel sorry for me. That's not what I'm looking for. I'm sharing my story because I want you to see how God can work through even the darkest circumstances in our lives. Keep in mind, this is a real story. I have changed names to protect people throughout my story. However, this is real, this is raw, and if there's anything that rubs you the wrong way about it, come and talk to me afterwards. But my story starts, as many in the room probably could say, I grew up in a Christian home. Had a younger brother, mom and dad. My mom was involved in kids ministry at our church. My dad was the organ player, later transitioned to playing guitar and piano in the worship team. We were at church twice on Sunday. We were there for Sunday morning service, followed by Sunday school for everyone, and then we're back for Sunday night service. We were there in the midweek for the kids program, and then for the summer, we locked ourselves in the church basement and got high on paint fumes as we prepped for vacation Bible school. And then we attended vacation Bible school for that week of the summer as well. On top of all of this, we had the privilege of attending a Christian school in our city. And my mom was a TA there as well. But when I turned 11, that's when the first major change came for our family. Because it was at that point that we ended up taking full custody of my 13-month-old cousin. And she grew up with us as our sister. So if you've seen her around here, even though she looks like us, she's my cousin. But we treat her as our sister because we've had her living with us since she was 13 months old. We seemed like the perfect family. I mean, we got to see grandparents all the time. We got to go on fishing trips, on camping trips, hiking. We got to go on educational trips to museums and to provincial parks. But then we continued to get older. And the next change came. My dad lost his job. Manufacturing plant in our town shut its doors and all the employees lost their jobs. The same time, my mom, due to multiple back surgeries, is medically unemployable. And so this meant that we could no longer afford Christian school tuition. And so we ended up being homeschooled. I was in, would have been going into grade 6, and I was homeschooled all the way through high school, but at this time, we fell into a cycle of never knowing where our next meal was coming from, whether the gas or the hydro was going to get turned off. But this is where God first showed up in a big way in my life. Because every time that we opened those cupboard doors and they were empty, there'd be a knock at the door. We'd open the door, there's a basket of food. There's no one with it, there's just a basket of food. And that basket of food ended up having enough food in it to feed this family of 5 until we had enough money to buy more groceries. Anytime that that final notice would come from the hydro and gas company that we were going to lose our hydro or our heat, a check would be in the mail. Unmarked envelope to the exact cent. And we weren't ones to go around and share what we needed to get by. But God was there. And he showed up through these people that supported us. Fast forward a little bit, I ended up in high school, as most kids do. And I had the opportunity to get involved in other activities. Played some sports and did some drama as well. But that was also the time when we switched churches. At our new church, my mom became the children's pastor, my dad was the worship leader, and my family was the worship team every Sunday. We were involved in kids ministry during the week, youth ministry during the week. We were actually the janitors of our church as well. And for some reason, at that same time, I felt it would be good to add one more thing in there. Why not? And so I joined the Christian Performing Arts team and traveled with them for 5 years of my high school career. Now, this team played a pivotal role in my life. It helped me to develop my faith for myself, helped me to overcome fears, and ultimately, the best thing that came out of it was that's where I met my wife, Samantha. However, towards the end of high school, that was also when I became diagnosed with severe clinical depression. And I went through what I thought were some of the darkest days of my life. Little did I know, though, that those few years suffering from that were nothing compared to what was going to come. Upon completion of high school, I applied to only one college. I got in and attended and graduated from Algonquin College here in Ottawa with my degree in baking and pastry arts. But the hits didn't stop. They kept coming. Because while I was here studying, just before Christmas break, I got a phone call from my mom a week before she's going to pick me up, and she says, "Hey, just to let you know, we've had to declare bankruptcy. The bank has foreclosed on our house, so when you come home for Christmas break, you're not coming home. We're going to be living in our aunt and uncle's temporary home." That sent me spiraling out of control. When I came back from my second semester, I was so worried about what was going on back home that I couldn't focus, and I was ready to toss in the towel. I wanted to give up on school. I wanted to give up on my education. But God showed up again. And through support of friends and family and my church, I ended up being able to get through, finish the course, graduate in the top 5% of my class. And then I moved back home because Samantha and I were to be married the next summer. We're originally from Trenton, and so I felt if she's not going to be moving back till a month before the wedding, I should probably go back to help, because if we leave our moms in charge, who knows what's going to happen with our wedding. It was during that summer, though, while we were home, that my brother and I had this idea to form a worship team. We had done this in the past, but we decided to restart it. And what we did is we went back to the performing arts team we were on. We found other students there, got them to join us. And what we did is we went to other churches in our area and filled in while their teams were on vacations over the summer. And it was upon returning home early from one of those practices that would change my life forever. It's upon returning home and opening that door, I became the key witness to my father assaulting a minor. This man that I had called my father, this Christian man, this man that led our family and led our church in worship every Sunday, was now being ordered out of our home, placed under house arrest at his parents' home, pending his trial, and ultimately was sentenced to 13 months in prison. It was during that trial that it came out that this hadn't just happened. This had been going on for 7 years in our home without our knowledge. On top of that, that's when the court ordered no contact order was put in place to protect me, to protect the other witness and the victim. For 19 years, I had a father. Someone that I could look up to. Someone that I thought was modeling a Christ-like life to me. Someone who I thought was modeling what it meant to be a husband and a father. And this was all shattered in this one moment. I wish I could say it stopped there, but it didn't. Because that Sunday, we had to sit in church. Thankfully, they found someone else to sing, because we weren't in the mood. But we had to sit there on Father's Day Sunday as our pastor got up and shared this news with our entire congregation. We then had to endure the men in our church coming up to us afterwards, being like, hey, now that your dad's gone, I can fill that void. I can teach you stuff that he should have taught you. Not the time, not the place. Severely inappropriate. But it was at that moment, in talking with those men, that I did this. Place the label of fatherless on myself. I no longer had a dad in my life. Again, I wish I could say it stopped there, but it didn't. Because I didn't just lose my dad that day. I lost my grandparents. To this day, my grandfather still blames me for blowing the whistle, for ruining their son's life. My grandmother, on the other hand, completely understood. She knew he needed to suffer the consequences that he did. She was grateful that I finally found this and reported it. However, she suffered from severe MS. She couldn't leave her home. Because he's under house arrest at their house, I'm not allowed there. My grandmother passed away a few years ago, never getting to attend my wedding. Never got to meet my kids. All because of this. Sorry. So I know what you're wondering. How did I go from there to sitting before you to preach today? Let's talk about it. Sunnyside, it's because of you. That's why. See, when I was here attending school, I had the privilege of attending Sunnyside, but not here. Because at that point, we had a university campus site at the University of Ottawa. And I attended there under the direction of Pastor Matthew Laker. And we built up this great relationship. And all through that trauma that we went through as a family, he called in to check in. Members of the church called to check in. They sent emails every day. And actually, when I graduated from Algonquin, before anything ever happened, he offered me a job to come and be the worship leader and student ministries director. And I told him no, because I needed to be home prepping for the wedding. Little did I know that by going home, I would become a witness to this. But they called me back the following year, and they said, hey, it's still not working out. Position's still open. We realize you want to get married. Will you move back to Ottawa after and take this position? I'm like, absolutely, because I need out. So I came up, accepted the position, got to work with Matthew for the year, and then at the end of that year, we decided to close down that site. And we came back to this church where we sit today. And it was a year later that, out of nowhere, my wife and I had this brilliant idea to create a young adult conference that we would run, which is now known as the Wake Up the World Conference. That was 8 years ago. We thought it was going to be a one-off thing. Four people showed up. We just celebrated our eighth year in March with 75 people from all the way from Peterborough to Ottawa in attendance. And it was preparing for that first conference that we said, okay, God, if this is what you want us to do, if this is what you've called us to do, what do we do? What are we talking about? What's our topic for the weekend? He asked us to look at this same topic that I'm talking about today, the topic of labels. That we all have labels that we put on ourselves. Some may have been put there by others, but we all have them. Some are good, but some are hurtful. And it was through preparing my message for that conference 8 years ago that I have learned three things about labels that I want to share with you today. So if you've got a pen and paper or your phone, you might want to take some notes about these three points. But the first is that labels hurt. I think this one's pretty obvious. Some labels can hurt. Who remembers this old saying? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Show of hands, how many have heard that one? Show of hands, how many believe it's true? It's so wrong. I cannot count the amount of times that someone has said something hurtful to me and it stuck. Sometimes they may have just been joking. They didn't choose their words very well, but it didn't matter because that stayed with me. Most of it stayed for quite a while. I've let those words eat away at me, let them direct my life, because words hurt and words stick. See, what we say to ourselves and to others become the labels that we and others wear and let rule our lives. See, words are a powerful thing. This is actually something that's dominant throughout Scripture. Ephesians 4:29 tells us, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Or Proverbs 18:21, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Or the warning from Matthew 12. But I tell you that everyone will give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. Words have power. With your words, you can either cheer someone up, or you can hurt them for years to come. The passage we just read in Proverbs 18 reminds us that the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. See, if you choose to judge and to slander and throw offensive words and labels at others, you in turn are going to lead a dissatisfied life, because cruelty breeds cruelty. If you are going to speak out of love and bring someone up, you in turn are going to receive life. You reap what you sow. See, we as believers, we are called to a higher calling than just walking around, not thinking before we speak, and throwing hurtful words at others. We're called to be disciples of Christ, to those we meet in our communities, our workplaces, our schools, our families. Can we say that we are doing this? Are we living as disciples of Christ? Would people be able to say of you what Jesus said in John 13, that by this everyone will know you are my disciples if you love one another? See, when we're speaking in love, sure, we're putting labels on someone, but those are labels that are encouraging, are helpful, are going to bring them joy. And you know what? When you're speaking out of love in a label, guess what? That actually helps to destroy some of those negative labels that have been placed there before. But when we as Christians choose not to speak out of love towards others, as we read in Ephesians, if we aren't speaking this way, we're no better than the world. See, sometimes the best thing you can say is nothing at all. My mom used to tell me, if you have nothing nice to say, don't say anything at all. See, that wasn't the case on that Father's Day Sunday. After that service, having all those men in our church come up to us, say, hey, now that you don't have a dad anymore, I can fill that gap. Hey, since your dad's no longer around, I can teach you this. They may not have meant it in a hurtful way. But with what we just experienced as a family, that's how it was received. And their words had power. I bought into that. Hearing them say, hey, since you have no father, that's right, I have no father. He isn't going to be around anymore. I am fatherless. I journeyed with this mindset for a number of years until, as I said, we were preparing for that first conference when I began to realize something. This isn't how God intended for it to be. This isn't how God meant for me to be living with this negative mindset. And that's when he taught me the second thing. The first was labels hurt. The second is labels cloud your vision of who God made you to be. By a show of hands, how many of you have ever purchased a pair of safety goggles or swimming goggles or a mirror? Vast majority. For those of you that purchased goggles, you know that a lot of them come with like the safety label over top of the lens. Have you tried to like put them on and try to look through it with that still on it? Does it work? No. How many of you bought a mirror that has that protective label over top? If you try to look at yourself in that, take a look at the picture on the screen here. That's a picture of a mirror with that label still on. You can't really see clearly your image in that mirror. I think this is similar to what happens with the labels that are on us. See, the labels that we or others put on us that are hurtful redefine what we think of ourselves. It leads us to thinking negatively about ourselves, which isn't at all how we were created to feel. I think the biggest piece of evidence for this is on social media. In 2021, a study by the Atlantic Student Research Journal found that 60% of Canadian teenagers struggle with self-esteem issues when it comes to their body image due to what people said about them online. 60% of our teenagers don't feel good about their body because of what one person said. This is not how God created us to view ourselves. We shouldn't be letting others define who we are. We shouldn't be letting ourselves define who we are. We need to remove that clouded layer of labels to see and understand what God says about us, about how God sees us, who he says we are. But what is it that God says? Let's go back to Genesis chapter 1. It says, God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And in Psalm 139, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Can you confidently say this today? Can you sit here today and say, absolutely, I am praising God for the way that he made me? Or are you allowing the labels that others have put on you to define you? To cloud the fact that God made you in his image, just the way you are. See, God has a plan and a purpose for each of us, and all he asks is that we follow him towards that. But so many times instead, we try to define it ourselves. And we turn to the world for our answers and direction. See, in that moment in my life, when I placed this label on myself, I let it cloud my judgment of who God is and what he has in store for me. It was so depressing to see other people get to enjoy time with their dads on Father's Day. having to sit through Father's Day services, a lot of the times having to sing on Father's Day. I didn't want to be there. I actually got into such a dark place in my depressed state that on Father's Day, I couldn't be left alone. There always had to be somebody with me. That's how dark it was. This label then ended up manifesting into fear when we found that we were expecting our first child. I feared I was going to end up the same way that my dad was now that I'm going to have a child. If that's how my dad was, what if that same attitude and capabilities are inside of me? There were many nights leading up to the birth of our daughter Madeline that I didn't sleep, that I got mad at God, I cried, all because of this label bringing in this fear. Fast forward to the birth of our daughter, and my wife was sleeping in recovery, and I was sitting up middle of the night holding Madeline in my arms. And I don't know where it came from, but I just looked down at her and I said, I promise you that I'm going to protect you. That I will never let the things that my father did happen to you. I promise I'm not going to be that kind of father to you. That became the turning point in my life, which ultimately led to a new understanding of who my father was and who I was as a father. And this all happened because of a song. I know, weird, God used a song to speak to a worship pastor. Who knew? But there was a song that was popular at that time in Christian music, and it was called Hello, My Name Is by Matthew West. I want to read you a few lyrics from that song. Hello, my name is Defeat. I'm sure you recognize me. Just when you think you can win, I'll drag you right back down again till you've lost all belief. These are the voices, oh, these are the lies, and I have believed them for the very last time. Hello, my name is Child of the One True King. I've been saved, I've been changed, I have been set free. Amazing grace is the song I sing. Hello, my name is Child of the One True King. I am no longer defined by all the wreckage behind. For the one who makes all things new has proven it's true. Just take a look at my life. See, the words to this song brought me to a new realization. That I am no longer defined by what happened in the past with my dad. That God is making all things new. He taught me the greatest lesson about labels. Number three, God is in the business of redeeming your labels. Doesn't matter what that label is. It doesn't matter how much it hurts, how long you've carried it, how much it has clouded your vision of who God has made you to be. He can and will redeem it. It's evident all throughout Scripture. Let's look at some of those. Go back to the book of Exodus. We've got Moses. He goes to the burning bush. God speaks to him through that and says, I want you to go to Egypt, free the Israelites from the oppression of Pharaoh. And Moses says, yeah, don't send me. I'm really bad at public speaking. Moses, in that moment, labels himself as inarticulate. Go to the end of the story. God used Moses to deliver his people out of Egypt. See, Moses labeled himself inarticulate. God redeemed it to deliverer. Go to the book of Joshua. These Israelites have been delivered from Egypt, wandered through the desert, are about to enter the promised land, and so they send some spies into Jericho, check on the land. And while they were there, the spies ended up being protected from the guards by a woman named Rahab. Rahab carried the label of prostitute that was put on her by society. But she helped the spies escape, and because of her faith, her and her family were spared when the walls of Jericho came down. Fast forward to the birth of Jesus. Matthew 1:5, in the genealogy of Jesus, it reads, Salmon was the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Society labeled her a prostitute. God redeemed that to great, 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 and so on, so on, so on. Grandmother of Jesus. The apostles, the 12 disciples that followed Jesus, they all came from different backgrounds. They all carried different labels with them, but God redeemed them as well. Just for a couple, took Matthew. Matthew was, we know, was a tax collector. People may have labeled him as greedy. God redeemed his label to giver. Or Thomas. Can anybody think of what Thomas's label might have been? Doubter. Thomas was the doubter. God redeemed it to believer. Or think of the woman who was caught in the act of adultery. During Jesus' ministry, she was brought before him, thrown on the street, and people were about to stone her. And what does Jesus do? Gets down in the dirt. Gets down in the dirt right next to her. Unfortunately, Scripture doesn't tell us what he wrote, but it says that he wrote in the dirt. Doesn't tell us what he wrote. I really want to know what it was that he wrote. There's lots of speculation around what it is. Some people have said, oh, he was writing out the sins and the affairs of all of those that were about to stone her to say, you're no better than she is. Others say that he was writing out her list of affairs and then wiping it to show, slate's clean. You're made new. You are forgiven. I recently watched a staged production of Jesus' life from Sight and Sound Theater in the States. It was a televised production on Easter weekend. And they put this scene in there. And what Jesus wrote there was he got down and wrote, you are loved. Society labeled her an adulterer. Jesus redeemed it to loved. And finally, Saul. His job was literally to hunt down Christians and murder them. He was labeled a murdering tyrant, but then God literally stopped him in his tracks, redeemed him unto himself, and took him from a murdering tyrant to a missionary. And why? Because God is in the business of redeeming your labels. That song by Matthew West, by hearing that, God prompted me to go back to our passage we started with today. 1 John 3, very first verse. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. See, for all these years I'd walked around with this label, telling everyone I was fatherless, telling myself I was fatherless, when that couldn't have been further from the truth, based on this verse. See what great love the Father, God, is our Father. We are called children of God. This whole time I thought I didn't have someone there anymore for support, ask questions of someone who was going to love me. Whole time God was there supporting me, loving me, encouraging me, seeing me through. I wasn't fatherless. That first weekend of Wake Up the World, this is not the exact sermon, but I did share my story. And what I challenged everyone to do was to look at their own lives and to then surrender the labels that are negative in their life to God. And it was through giving my message that I realized that this label doesn't define me. So I was able to walk over, was able to take it off, stuck it there. Then I walked away. I haven't gone back to pick that back up. Instead, I picked up a new label, Child of the One True King. See, God took me from fatherless and redeemed my label, the Child of the One True King. He doesn't just do that for me, he wants to do that for each of you. As you came in today, you may have been given a name tag. If you didn't get one, there are some on the back table. Don't feel awkward. Get up, go grab one, because I want you to participate in this. There are some on the back table. I want you to take that out. And I want you to think about labels that have been put on you by others or by yourself. Because I want you to know that God doesn't want you being defined by what you or others think. You are a created, loved child of His. I'm going to ask the band to come and play. And as they lead us in this next song, I want you to take that label. Think of a label that you or someone else has put on you that has had a negative impact, that you've let run your life. I want you to write that down on that label. And then if you are ready today, if you're not, that's totally fine. But if you are ready today, I'd invite you while they're playing to come up and stick it on the cross, making this a symbol of you making that decision to no longer let that label define who you are, no longer letting others and yourself define who you are in Christ, but instead allowing God to define who you are, taking out that clouded label and seeing who God made you to be. And as you do that, I want to give you a new label. I want to be able to give you a label that defines who you are in God. So I invite you to fill those out and come as the worship team leads us now.